Okay, but yeah, Kel. Here at the Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the command to build the Mishkan and discusses how the different parts of the Mishkan, the different kelim, the different utensils are being made, and the pasuk is very interesting. The pasuk says that's Perek Lamed Hey pasuk Chabez. The pasuk says Vayavohu Hanoshim Al Hanoshim Kol Nedivlei Vaviu Chach Vanesim Tabas V'Chumas Kol Klizav. So the men came. So this seems to be a difference of opinion how to explain this pasuk. The pasuk talks about men and women donating towards the building of the Mishkan, towards the building of the tabernacle. So some explain it, and that seems to be Rashi's explanation, Im Hanashim, that the men came together with the women. I don't know that they would have allowed that today, but the men came together with the women. And the women were next to them. Okay, so that's in other words, they came together. However, there are those that explain it that I think the Ramban by that the men came together with the women. In other words, the main ones giving towards the Mishkan were the women, and the men accompanied them and went along with them and agreed with them about the donating towards the construction of the Mishkan. And this has its basis on in the Yerushalmi in Shkalim, that the Yerushalmi says, look at this nation. When they're asked to contribute, when they're asked to contribute to the golden calf, so the men went and ripped off the jewelry of the women and gave it for them, but they gave. And when it came to give for the Mishkan, they also gave. You find people that they're always giving, but sometimes they'll give even for murder, contribute to murder, and sometimes they will contribute to good causes. And but the Yerushalmi also mentions that if when it came to the Egel HaZav, when it came to the golden calf, so the women did not want to give their jewelry, but the men, so to say, took the jewelry away from them and gave it against their will for to construct the golden calf. But when it came to the Mishkan, the women joined the men, or the men joined the women in giving it to the Mish for the construction of the Mishkan. And the very strange Bala Turim there. The Bala Turim says, "Vayavo ha'noshim al ha'noshim kol nedivlei hevi." The men and the women and all those who contribute, the Kol Nedivlei, whose heart inspired them to give. So it says, Gematria, the numerical value of those words in the Torah is Uz Ish V'Ishto Boim Yachad. Man and his wife came together. So it emphasizes the man and his wife, Uz, then. Okay. And the question is, why does it say Why does it say us then? What, that was part us, and that and then they came. That's all part of the gematria. How what? How are we to understand it? Us. It should say anash that ish v'ishto boyim yachad. Why the word us? What's the significance of the word us? So some explain it that us means that at the, then and not before. Beforehand, the men took the jewelry of the women against their will and gave it to the for idolatry for the golden calf. But now, husband and wife together went to contribute their jewelry and whatever else they had for the construction of the Mishkan. And that's the significance of then, to differentiate between the attitude that existed at the time of the building of the Mishkan, of the building of the tabernacle, and the attitude that there was at the time of the making of the golden calf. Now, I would like to discuss that somewhat in length, but it's significant that in halacha it's brought down, not practiced that much today, but in halacha it's brought down that Rosh Chodesh is a woman's holiday, special holiday for women. And the reason why it's a special holiday for women is, so Rabbeinu Yechiel, the brother of the Torah, I've mentioned this actually just recently, Rabbeinu Yechiel, the brother of the Torah, said, because originally there were supposed to be 15 holidays a year. 12 holidays were Rosh Chodesh. Of course, you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I'm not talking about them. So you had 12 holidays of Rosh Chodesh and three holidays of the Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. But then, because the men and the 12 holidays, why 12 holidays of Rosh Chodesh to be holidays? That is because the were 12 Shvatim. So to commemorate in honor of the 12 Shvatim, each Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a holiday. I guess in the Shana Mu'beres, either Adar is a repeat, or you could say, because you had Shevet Yosef that was divided into Menashe and Ephraim, so consequently, you had 13. And in a year when there wasn't an extra month, it was just Shevet Yosef. It was just the tribe of Yosef. But so Rabbeinu Yechiel says, because the women didn't want to contribute to the golden calf, but they did want to contribute to the Mishkan and did contribute to the Mishkan. So because of that, the men were not associated to the same degree with the holiday of Rosh Chodesh as women were associated with the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. But the question still is, and this question is raised, why is it that because of what the women did in giving their jewelry voluntarily for the Mishkan and trying to stop their husbands from taking their jewelry for the golden calf, that because of that, they got the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. There has to be between Rosh Chodesh on one hand, perhaps, and either the refusal to give their jewelry for the golden calf, or they're contributing toward the Mishkan. What is the connection between these events? And what is the connection between these events and Rosh Chodesh? Now, I think that, so some say the answer given is because the Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And since the Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that since the Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so the holiday of Rosh Chodesh was given over to them. I have trouble with that. A number of things. First of all, okay, that's not such a serious question, but the women were not involved in any special significant manner on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the setting up of the Mishkan. Their involvement took place in their involvement took place after somewhere between between after Sukkot, after Yom Kippur till Chaf Hei Kislev. Their involvement was in donating for the Mishkan, in working in the contributions of the Mishkan, and all that began the day after Yom Kippur, and it was more or less concluded, the work, before the Mishkan actually was set up. All that was concluded by Chaf Hei Kislev. So why is it that we identify what the women did with Rosh Chodesh Nisan? But even more than that, we could answer very easily. However, more troubling is, so then Rosh Chodesh Nisan should be the holiday. Why every Rosh Chodesh is the holiday? Why is every Rosh Chodesh the holiday? Now, I think that if you take a look, there's a certain Rambam. Now it's clear that the women were very much involved in the donating to the Mishkan. According to some, they played the major role in the donations to the Mishkan. And also, it's clear that the women were involved. We see from Sukkim, they were involved in the knitting that had to take place, the sewing that had to take place in towards the building of the Mishkan. All this is mentioned in the this week's Sedra. Now the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Beis Abchira, the Rambam says, "Ein bonim mikdash b'layla." We do not build the Beis HaMikdash at night. The Beis HaMikdash has to be built in the day. There's a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. And according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash and the mitzvah of building the Mishkan both come within the same mitzvah. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. They shall make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in their midst. But in bonus hamikdash b'layla, we don't build the Beis Hamikdash at night. Uviyom heikines shenema, uviyom heikines hamishkan, because we learn it out. Because the blueprint for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, in certain respects, is what happened in the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan, the Torah tells us, "Ubiyom hakim es mishkan." The Mishkan was set up in the day. "Biyom hakimim lo belayla." In the day you put it up, and not at night. And you're involved in the building of the Mishkan from dawn until nightfall. And everybody is required in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash to give aid and help, personal help, with themselves, with their labor, and with their money. Anashim v'nashim, both men and women, k'mikdash hamidbar, like the sanctuary of the desert, just like in the Mishkan, men and women were involved in the building and the contributing towards the Mishkan. So too, in regard to the Beis HaMikdash, men and women are required to participate through contribution, through labor, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is asked, and this is the type of question, and I've mentioned before, that there are many, many answers to. Now, usually, almost every question has many, many answers. But usually, if one answer is correct, the other answer is not correct. We don't know which answer is correct, and we have to study all the answers, but there are certain type of questions that there are many answers, and they could all be correct, and you can have some of them being correct, and very often there is no contradiction between the two answers. Sometimes we do something for many reasons, not just for one reason. And so we have the answers of that nature, and that is true about this question also. This is the type of question, there are many answers. I'm not going to go into all the answers because I probably would be able to speak till next year, till we get back to the Seder again. But I'm going to focus on two answers. There might be better answers, but that doesn't take away from the fact that these are also answers to that question. So the question is, we have a general rule that when it comes to positive commandments, women, if it's a commandment that's based on time, so women are exempt unless there is a special reason to make them required in the mitzvah. For example, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Of course, the woman says Kriya Shema. She has a very big mitzvah. But a woman is not required to say Kriya Shema. Why? Because Kriya Shema, saying the Shema, is a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. The mitzvah of Shema is to be said in the morning, and it's to be said in the evening. And a mitzvah that's dependent upon time, women are exempt from that mitzvah. Of course, we have many, many exceptions, the holidays being an exception. But the general rule is that women are exempt from mitzvahs that are dependent upon time. But even those women chooses to fulfill them. She has a mitzvah if she does them. So the question is, the mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash, that's only in the day. Since it's only in the day, so women should be exempt. Women should be exempt from the mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash because it's a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. So why is it that women were required in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, and it required in the mitzvah of building the Mishkan? But it's a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. And if it's a mitzvah that's dependent upon time, they should be exempt from that mitzvah. Now, one answer is we have mitzvos, that the action of the mitzvah and the fulfillment of the mitzvah is the same action. An example: let's say if a person takes a lulav and esrog and he shakes the lulav and esrog, so the action of the mitzvah and the action of the mitzvah and the fulfillment of mitzvah is the same thing. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is shaking the lulav and esrog. Another example. So another example would be the mitzvah of eating matzah. When the mitzvah of eating the matzah is both the action and the fulfillment of the mitzvah. However, we have mitzvos that are not that way. We have mitzvos where the action of the mitzvah is one thing, and the fulfillment of the mitzvah is separate from the action of the mitzvah. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's say putting a mezuzah up on by the doorway. The action is putting the mezuzah up, knocking the nails into the mezuzah, or however you place the mezuzah on the doorway. That's the action of the mitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is not in putting it up, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah is in having it up. My uncle would say about, let's say, the mitzvah of simcha and yontif, the mitzvah of being happy on yontif, of being joyful on yontif. We know there's a mitzvah yontif to eat basar v'yayin, to eat meat and drink wine. But my uncle would say the fulfillment, that's the action of the mitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is in the feeling of joy that eating and drinking enabled. The feeling that came afterwards from the eating and drinking, the feeling of satisfaction, that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's a state of being on yontif that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And the same thing my uncle would say is true about the laws of Avelus, the laws of mourning. A mourner has certain practices. He has to sit low. A mourner is not allowed to wear leather shoes, which are considered to be considered to be a comfort. There are all kinds of laws regarding mourning. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah, my uncle would say, is in the feelings of sadness and not feeling joy or happiness that is enabled by the restrictions that one assumes during his period of mourning. So you have mitzvos that the action of the mitzvah, the action that enables the fulfillment of the mitzvah, and which is a requirement, is separate from the fulfillment of the mitzvah. I think it's obvious that when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, I would say the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, not in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's in having the Beis HaMikdash, in keeping the Beis HaMikdash. You know, many institutions, good institutions, they have building campaigns. And they build big edifices. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not in the construction. But I think the fulfillment of the mitzvah is in having that edifice that it enables the noble work to continue. We speak of building shuls, of building synagogues, of building yeshivas, of building buildings of Jewish education, of building buildings that give the ability to do acts of chesed. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not in the building. The fulfillment is in having the building to accomplish these tasks. And the same thing was true about the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah was not the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah is in having the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah of having the Beis HaMikdash was not limited to the day. The mitzvah of having the Beis HaMikdash was day and night, 24/7. That's the build, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. A mitzvah that is mitzvah sase shazman grama, that women are exempt from. That's only a mitzvah whose fulfillment is dependent upon time. But a mitzvah that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah is continuous, 24/7. It's not a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. The actions, the building, the construction, that might be dependent upon time. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah, when is the mitzvah fulfilled? In the having of the Beis HaMikdash. Since it's in the having of the Beis HaMikdash, so women are required, because the having of the Beis HaMikdash, and we could say to a certain degree, the same thing is true about the mitzvah of a shul. There is a mitzvah on a community to have a shul. The fulfillment. There is a mitzvah in building the shul, but that's the maisa ha-mitzvah. That's the action of the mitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is in having it. So, when did the Jewish people fulfill the mitzvah of the Mishkan? We could suggest, was not during the construction. The construction was the Maisa HaMitzvah. It was the action of the mitzvah, the action that you were required to do in order to enable the having of a Mishkan. So because of that, women were required, women are required in the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. That's why women were required to participate. They weren't forced, because no one was forced to participate in contributing to the Mishkan, but a requirement it was. Now, and for that reason, women were required to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash as well. Now, so the fulfillment of the mitzvah was on Rosh Chodesh. But the question is, that explains why it was on Rosh Chodesh, even though their actions was long before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the question is, why every Rosh Chodesh? Why every Rosh Chodesh? I think... Now, my uncle says a very interesting thought. He mentions a Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Ramban, that it was really a diuk that my grandfather made, that Rosh Chodesh was to be considered a holiday inside the Beis HaMikdash. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, on a Torah level, of course, Rabbinically, it was observed outside the Mishkan, also outside the Beis HaMikdash also. But because other holidays, you have all kinds of laws that are associated on a biblical level with Rosh Chodesh. Associated with the holidays, let's say. Sukkot, we sit in the sukkah. We take the lulav and esrog. We refrain from doing work on the Yomim Tovim. Shavuos also, we refrain from doing work. Sukkot. Pesach, we eat matzah. All of this was outside the Beis HaMikdash. So these holidays were public holidays. Whereas Rosh Chodesh, the basic mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is not taking any specific religious objects. And for the most part, there is no requirement to refrain from work. And even the recitation of the Hallel that is said that is only outside. It's a custom. It's a custom, an early custom. It's mentioned in the Gemara, but it was a custom. As a matter of fact, the opinion of the Rambam, that's not the Ashkenazic practice, but the opinion of the Rambam is that when you say Hallel Rosh Chodesh, you don't make a bracha on it. Because Hallel Rosh Chodesh is only a custom. It's not a mitzvah. It came a mitzvah as a result of the custom. And any mitzvah that has its foundation in custom does not require a bracha. So Hallel on Rosh Chodesh that we say outside the Beis HaMikdash is only a custom. But inside the Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Chodesh was a holiday. There was a mitzvah of simcha. There was a mitzvah of joy. And consequently, there was a mitzvah of saying hallel on Rosh Chodesh inside the Beis HaMikdash. And if the mitzvah of hallel is a mitzvah of d'oraisa, as some suggest, the Ramban's opinion is that way. It's part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So Hallel inside the Beis HaMikdash was a mitzvah, the Araisa, a biblical mitzvah. So we see the difference between Rosh Chodesh and the other holidays. Rosh Chodesh is a private holiday. It's not a public holiday. It's a hidden holiday on a Torah level. The main aspects of Rosh Chodesh were not required to be celebrated outside the Beis HaMikdash. It was just the giving of the Karban Musaf that was done that made it a holiday. Whereas the other holidays were celebrated both inside the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. In a sense, the Beis HaMikdash represents a private form of worship, not a public. When I talk about private, I'm not talking about a minyan and not a minyan. I'm talking open to everybody or private. So the nature of Rosh Chodesh is one of privacy. And privacy is always a more personal relationship. The Medrash Rabbah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I think it's the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, or Shmos, the Medrash Rabbah says that when the Mishkan was made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Matzasi Yofe Min Hatznius, I did not find anything nicer than privacy. It represented a private form of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it could be that, to a certain degree, see how the Jewish people who worshiped the golden calf, it was a public display. It's almost like part of the reason for their worship was this need for public display. There's nothing wrong with public worship. We do it all the time. A lot of our service is public. But we have to know there's some special feature in the idea of private worship, private service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo matzasi yofim min atznius. And there's nothing better than, I didn't find anything more beautiful than modesty. And the truth of the matter is, we as Jews, we live a life inside our tents, inside our houses. And that represents tznius, privacy. When Bilam blessed against his will the Jewish people, but it was expressive of things that he noticed. One of the things he noticed is the privacy of the tents, how the door of one tent did not face the other tent. To a certain degree, this is the difference between life in America and even Jewish life, and life in Europe. There was a greater sense of privacy, of personal life. Today, everything everybody does has to be put on the internet. What a person ate for lunch, and a lot worse. Everything is put on the internet. A lot worse, a lot better. The sense of privacy has been lost. Today, we don't have that concept of lo matzasi yofem min atznius. I didn't find anything better than modesty. People, when they go to demonstrations, they have to wear their talasim. There's no mitzvah of wearing a talis at a demonstration. I don't know where that came from, but it came from a lack of understanding the significance of modesty. Matter of fact, the whole mitzvah of covering oneself with a talis has its origin in modesty. Shem was Zolcha merited to have the mitzvah of having a talis. Shem is the ancestor of the Jewish people, the son of Noah. Why? Because when he saw Noah naked, he covered Noah up. And here, people, they want to use it for their demonstration. If they would be walking with their talis all day long, okay. No, but here they want to show it off. It became a costume. The talis is not a costume. Now, perhaps, I think, and we know, today it's somewhat much less so, but Ishto Zubeso, the woman was always identified with the house. The man was identified to a much larger degree with the outside. The woman represented the concept of tznius. When the three malachim dressed as sojourners, met Avram. They asked him where Sarah, his wife, is. B'hinei ba'ohel. Sarah prepared food for them and everything, but she was ba'ohel. She was in the tent. Sarah is the symbol of tzniyus, of modesty. The women were always identified with the sense of modesty that men did not necessarily have to the degree that they probably should have had. Modesty is a positive thing. Obviously, they have to go out, but women were always the symbol of modesty. Men have to learn from women the concept of modesty. And I think perhaps because Rosh Chodesh is the holiday of modesty, the Beis HaMikdash is identified with the service of modesty. Because of that, when the women refuse to contribute to the Egel Azov, which emanated from this idea of public display. Probably some of the people that stood in front of the Egel Azov wore talesim also. Like some of the show-offs that go to the demonstrations with talesim. So, because of that, Rosh Chodesh became the women's holiday as a reward, because Rosh Chodesh symbolized the service, the private personal service in the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, they fulfilled the mitzvah Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but Rosh Chodesh Nisan represented a special type of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the private personal service, the type of service that women had even before the building of the Mishkan. Consequently, Rosh Chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh, became the holiday of the women. That's how we could understand it. Now, I want to suggest another possible answer to the original question. Another possible answer to the original question, and that is that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan is different than most of the mitzvahs in the Torah. There are other mitzvahs like it. The mitzvah of putting on tefillin, the mitzvah of davening, the mitzvah of saying Shema, the mitzvah of taking lulav and esrog, the mitzvah of putting on mezuzahs, those are all requirements on the individual. If a person has a house, it's incumbent upon him, or he lives in a house, it's incumbent upon him to put the mezuzah. Every morning, a man has to put on tefillin. A man has to say Shema. Everybody, I know that's not too popular. According to many, everybody, men and women, have to daven every day. It's a mitzvah on the individual. Most mitzvahs are mitzvahs on the individual. Of course, there's a mitzvah tefillah b'tzibur, but many individuals come to daven together. But we have mitzvahs that are mitzvahs on the nation, on the people as a group, on the community. And the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah on the community. It doesn't originate with the individual. I am required to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash because I am part of the community and I recognize that I am part of the community. Consequently, I have to participate as part of the community. And when we say that women are exempt from mitzvah sasei shehazman grama, that women are exempt from mitzvahs that are dependent upon time, unless there is another reason for them to be exempt, that halacha doesn't apply. When do we say mitzvah that's dependent upon time, women are exempt? That's if it originates on the individual. But if it originates on the community and we have to participate because we're part of the community, then it's not that way. Then women are not exempt. The obligation of building a Mishkan, a Beis HaMikdash, that's a mitzvah on the community. It's a community responsibility. And I have to participate. Every individual has to participate because he's part of that community. Now, there is a certain question that could be raised against that. And the question that could be raised against it is that there is, by Spiros Omer, by the counting of the Omer, there is a dispute between many Rishonim. If somebody forgets, now there's a mitzvah of counting Sphira. What's the mitzvah of counting Sphira? We count 49 days from the second day of Pesach, the last day being the day before Shavuos. Shavuos is always the 50th day from the second day of Pesach. So we count 49 days, 7 weeks. Now, what happens, and every individual counts, first day, Yom Yom Echad Ba'omer, then the next, today is the first day of the count of the Omer. Next day, today is 2 days in the count of the Omer. Then there's 3 days in the count of the Omer. Then on the seventh day, we say, today is 7 days, which is 1 week in the count of the Omer. And on the eighth day, today is 8 days, which is 1 week and 1 day in the count of Omer. And it continues that way until the 49th day. We say today is 49 days, which is 7 weeks in the count of the Omer. But there is a dispute. Let's say somebody forgot the count. He forgot the count on the eighth day. Does he have a mitzvah of counting on the ninth day? So there is a dispute. And the Rashba's opinion seems to be that the Rambam seems to be in the contrary to that, but the Rashba's opinion is that he counts anyway. And he uses the expression Im Sha'or Yisrael with the other Jews, together with the Jews who didn't forget the count, so to say. So the question is, what kind of count is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's a count. But once you skip one number, all the numbers after that cease to be a count. A count starts with 1 and ends with 49. But from the point that you miss that one day onward, there's no longer a count. Even if you say each day is a separate mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah of continuing the count. So my uncle explained that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of the tzibor. It's a mitzvah on the community to count. The individual joins the community in the count. And consequently, even if I miss a day, the count continues because it's not my count. I am participating in the count of the community. So one could raise a question if that's the case. Now, according to almost everybody, with the exception of the Ramban, I'm sure there are some people that follow the Ramban, some Shitas that follow the Ramban, but almost according to all opinions, women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, from counting the Omer, because it's a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. But if it's a mitzvah of the community and I'm participating as part of the community, so women should be required in the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, just like they're required in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, which is also a mitzvah on the community. How weak to understand it. But I think that the way we can understand it is there are two types of mitzvos of the tzibur. One mitzvah starts with it being an obligation on the community. And once there is an obligation on the community, I, as part of the community, have to participate in that mitzvah. But then there are mitzvos that start with the individual. By Sfiras Omer, by the counting the Omer, it's a mitzvah on the individual to participate in the count of the community. It begins with the individual, the obligation. Consequently, since dependent upon time, women are exempt from it. But where the mitzvah starts with the community, and I have to participate because I recognize that I am part of the community. Like the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, then there is no special exemption of this nature. There are other exemptions for children who are learning Torah, whatever. But there is no special exemption if the obligation begins with the community. So I think this is perhaps the reason why it is that way. Now, I want to discuss a little bit the war. The mitzvah of Milchemes Mitzvah, and even Milchemes Rishus, wherever there's a mitzvah regarding war, it's pointed out that, and certainly in regard to Yisrael, you could argue about Amalek, you could argue even about the Shivamim, but the mitzvah of war of defense, Milchemes Yisrael Miyad Tzor Shabal Lehem, the war of the Jewish people against the nations that attacked them, that's a mitzvah on the tzibur. And there's no question about that. But it originates with the tzibur. Why women don't have to participate in the war, that's for a special reason. Lav b'nei milchaminin hu, they are not warriors. Women's role is not one of warrior. There's a special reason for it, but it's a mitzvah that's on the tzibur, and where fighting is not involved. It could be that women are required to participate in a Milchemes Mitzvah, to aid in the war effort. We in America, the war effort would be to participate in demonstrations, to apply political pressure. And the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, there are probably help that could be given. Of course, we can't abandon civilian life. We need people to take care of the children. We need people to take care of civilian life as well. All that is also part of the war effort. But the mitzvah of wage, Milchemes Yisrael Miyatzor Shabalahim, what is the source of that mitzvah? I mentioned my father would always mention the Medrash Tanchuma, the Miri in Sanhedrin also mentions it. It's Sororis and Midyanim Kitzorim Heim Lachem. Harass the Midianites because they are harassing you. Mikan, the Medrash says, from here we see Habar Laharcha Hashkem Lahargo. If someone comes to kill you, you get up and kill him. And this is on a national level, not on an individual level. Obviously, if someone comes with a gun to shoot me, I can shoot him first in self-defense. It's something that people today don't realize, at least depending who's doing the shooting and who's getting shot. But that's the mitzvah of pursuer. To kill a pursuer that's coming to kill me. But there's a halacha pursuer on a national level, as I've mentioned many times. That means if we were attacked on October 7th, it wasn't just the individuals that were living in southern Israel near Gaza that were attacked. We were attacked. And they are pursuers of us. And anybody that doesn't recognize that, if anyone doesn't recognize that they are part of this war of defense, they don't see themselves as Klal Yisrael, as part of the Jewish people. It originates with a requirement on the tzibur, on the community, on the nation. And we as part of the nation, by recognition of the fact that we are part of the nation, we have that obligation to participate. Why am I mentioning it? And why am I mentioning it with so much emotion? I mean, so many people have been injured. I have a grandchild who's fighting. But the attitude of some people is just unbelievable. They don't understand. They're fighting to save their lives. And their attitude, I just heard a situation today. Two ladies were walking in a religious section of Eretz Yisrael. I won't even mention the name of the city. I'm sure a lot of people would guess it. And a soldier was passing by. And one lady, very fine lady, said to the soldier, I want to thank you for what you're doing for the Jewish, for us. And the other lady said to that lady, did you thank the boys learning in Kolo? Now, I'm not trying to undermine the importance of learning in Kollel, and even the impact that it has for the Jewish people. It's like, but don't you recognize right now that these people are saving your lives? Where is the thank you? You know, I'm 74 years old. Soon, I'll be 75. And I remember yeshiva dinners going way back. Today, they're a little different than they used to be, but there are certain things that never change. When it comes to yeshiva dinner, there's always a guest of honor. And most of the time, the guest of honor is not somebody who's sitting and learning in color. They don't make dinners for somebody who was sitting and learning his whole life in Kollel. Why do they make dinners? They want to thank, well, they want to raise money, that's the first thing, but they want to thank the individual who donated money for them. It probably would be a good idea from time to time to honor some of the people sitting and learning Torah also. But I never heard anybody complain. In fact, the only one that ever complained was me, that I'm aware of. So what's the answer? Why is it that the dinners are made in honor of the people? The answer is these people enable the others to learn Torah. They enable them to learn Torah. If not for these people who are working and donating money to the yeshivas, the yeshiva boys wouldn't be able to sit and learn. And there probably would be some that had real mesiras nefesh. But I suspect the numbers would be somewhat less than they are today. And another thing, but this has changed somewhat. In the old days, I noticed that all the yeshiva dinners in the United States, when they had a guest speaker, that's changed already. When they had a guest speaker, it would usually be a professor or a rabbi who had a doctorate. All either got their doctorate or were teaching in college campuses, which the yeshiva would consider avodah zarah, gila rais, and shvichas damim, the worst of sins possible. Not that I'm finding much favor with what's going on in the college campuses today. And honestly, what goes on in the college campuses today makes one wonder how they can protect themselves from the anti-Semitic and anti-Torah and anti-morality that is going on the college campuses. But this is what drew people for money. So it's the same thing. They were enablers of Torah. These people, to me, seem to be so stupid. It's not only that the soldiers are saving your life. You think they wouldn't have been in Yerushalayim a couple days later? But people don't remember what happened to the yeshiva boys in Hebron. At least if they learn a Pasuk Rashi, Rashi says about the first Pesach night in Mitzrayim, regarding the pasuk that you shouldn't go outside. Atem lo seitzu. Why? Because the shema'acha shenitna reshus lemashis lechavel. When a destroyer is there to destroy, there's no difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. And believe me, the soldiers that are fighting in Israel, they're certainly tzaddikim. So for your yeshiva dinner, you will give a dinner and you'll say thank you for those who enable you to learn Torah. This one is saving your life. So we could say, you know, we say in Kriya Shema, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'edecha. Our sages tell us you have people that their money is more important to them than their lives, and their lives are more important than their money. So they don't care about the fact that their lives are being saved. They care about where they're getting their money. But fools, if Israel will be attacked and there wouldn't be these soldiers fighting for you, Damascus is coming. They'll kill you like they killed the Jews in Hebron, the yeshiva boys in Hebron, who are bigger masmidim, bigger tzaddikim. You think you'll be able to learn Torah? Dead people can't learn Torah. You should know, these soldiers not only give you the ability to live, to survive, for your children to survive, they're also bigger enablers of your being able to learn Torah. If not for them, you wouldn't be able to learn Torah either. They have the schus of saving the Jewish people and saving the Torah as well. Not any less than those that are sitting in the yeshivas. I am not talking against yeshiva boys not going to the war. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about the simple decency to be able to say thank you. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for enabling me to learn Torah. They're not worse than these rich people, many who violate the halacha completely, that are the guest of honors at your dinner. And I think that that's what we, why is it that there's this attitude? The reason there is this attitude is because many in the yeshivish community are concerned that people will come to idolize the soldiers if they say thank you. So they have to be in denial that they are the ones that enable them to live, to be in denial of the fact that they're the ones that are giving them the opportunity to learn Torah, to raise families. Without danger, let me add, without the same danger that they themselves undergo. So, because they're scared that people will come to idolize them if people say thank you. Purim is coming up. Purim is coming up, and the fools will probably make, I'm not into costumes, whatever, even though it's mentioned in the Mefarshim about costumes. But they will allow you to dress up as any type of horror figure. You can dress up as Haman. You can dress up as Achashverosh. We know what Achashverosh gave his approval to him initially. But you can't dress up as an Israeli soldier. Why is it? Because they're scared. They're scared that people will come to give recognition to the soldiers for what they're doing. It's time that we overcome the stupidity. We, if one, say, these people are learning Torah. Torah is very important for Klal Yisrael. But if you want to know why there is going to be, and there is going to be a campaign against not giving deferments to the boys learning yeshiva after the war, there always is. You know why it is? Because we don't give them recognition. If we don't give them recognition for what they're doing, for putting their lives on the line, you can't expect them to give us recognition.
Okay, so please put questions in the chat. What was the pasuk at the beginning that you started with in the Balei Torah?
1 second. I'll tell you in a second. Vayavoa hanoshim al hanoshim kol nediv lei. Kol nediv lei hevi. So gematria, look in the Baal Torim, oz ish v'ishto boim yachat. What I really wanted to add, because the Gemara says, the Medra says that the ish v'isha, so if there is, if ish has a yud in it and isha has a hay in it. So if shechina shruya b'nehem, if God is part of their relationship, so then you have ish v'isha. But if Shechina is not, it's Eish and Eish. You have fire and fire. But when it came to the Mishkan, they were coming to God to show that God was part of their relationship. It was Yachat. So it served that purpose of promoting that relationship of Ish v'Isha with Shechina Shruya B'neihem. They came together. And that was the idea of Uz. Because Uz, on one hand, means not before, but Uz also means to use the opportunity now. Now was the opportunity. Now they had the opportunity to intensify that relationship of making HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of their relationship.
I'm quoting you here, but Uz is a spontaneous reaction.
That's right, a spontaneous reaction. It was a spontaneous, they used the opportunity, a spontaneous reaction. It was instinctive. When it's instinctive, it's when something is spontaneous, it shows who you really are. When you think about something, you decide. But the way you react automatically says who you really are.
If someone makes a donation towards building a shul or a mikveh, do they get a mitzvah when they make the donation, or is it only when the building is completed?
I think my sense is it'll be the idea of a b'chashava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzdaref l'maisa. But if you give money for a mikveh and the mikveh is not built, I don't know that there will be that there's a real mitzvah, but you'll probably get a reward because of b'chashava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzdaref l'maisa.
But also, if the maisa mitzvah is first, you're doing a maisa mitzvah now when you give the money, right?
Yeah, well, there's probably a reward for a ma'isa hamitzvah also, irregardless. But the kiyum hamitzvah you only have when you afterwards.
Okay. Just a comment in regard to, you know, being criticized for thanking the soldier. In I don't know what it's like now, but like 25 years ago, if you would lend money to a student in a Haredi yeshiva, they wouldn't say thank you because they were very machbit that they didn't want to do onaz dvarim.
Yeah,
But the
okay,
one
yeah.
person said, well,
But,
some of them though quoted Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that you're allowed to say Yashikov, but not more than that.
Yeah, okay, so I just wondering what they would do. Okay, what they'll do about the that's for lending money.
Yeah.
Not giving money.
No. If they would take a loan, they wouldn't say thank you.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I heard from my father you could do what's normal in thanking them. You know, it's a, you don't have to run 3 blocks if you see him across the street to say it. But if you're passing him by, you could say thank you very much or I appreciate you really helped me out. That's normal.
Okay. A question here. Well, for Haredi yeshiva students who want to join the Israeli army, are they allowed to make conditions like not being around women or having special levels of kashrus?
Certainly,
as a
certainly,
condition?
Certainly, 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 certainly.
Here's a complicated one. In Parshas Vayishlach, Shimon and Levi were criticized by Yaakov for killing out everyone in Shechem because according to your father's pshat, they could have changed Shechem by other methods.
Well,
what about
I think after so many years of the state of Israel, we know that there are no other methods, unfortunately, that work.
Right. So we understand that, but does the fact of world opinion or public opinion play a role in us not doing it 100%, or that's no excuse?
That's a decision that has to be made by the leaders of Israel who are, it's like a doctor.
With expertise and knowing all
expertise, that have expertise in the area. Obviously, there are, sometimes even they make colossal mistakes that everybody recognizes. But to deal with a particular situation, if the person is honest in dealing with it and he's not stupid and he has knowledge, now it's both, you have to take diplomacy in account and military situation into account. The problem is sometimes they focus only on one.
Someone asks, is there a source that B'nai Torah would be taken first and being chosen for battle? Or they're
My sense is that if you want a source for it, you they by Amalek it says anashim yirechet, and all that. But my sense is that was a special halacha in that war. That's one, and that taken anashim yirechet, and those who volunteer are certainly mekadeshim shemayim. There's no question about it. And the big issue, I mean, it's a shir in itself, is the impact that the army will have on their religious nature. And that is a big problem, and it really varies from individual to individual, from person to person, and from situation to situation. You know, that's the big issue that has to be evaluated. But there are all kinds of things that you could do, even if you're not in the army, to help the war effort. And I, for some reason, they don't emphasize that point.
What about the Gemara about the which maybe doesn't apply to Muhammad's mitzvah, but the Kohen when he'd read the Mashiach Muhammad, that the Gemara saw it in one place. Even people, if they talk between putting on their Shel Rosh and Shel Yad,
That's
they so meaning they wanted
okay.
people who didn't do any averos.
Yeah, okay, but that's by Mochemus Rishus. We still have Mochemus Rishus today.
Right. Okay.
That's only
And
Mochemus Rishus.
in regard
And
to
that's only when there's a Kohen also, which
but that's
okay,
a source that they wanted people who
that's
were
yeah.
of very
And by the
far
way,
away from doing averus.
it was only those that are confident. It's only those that are Yorei Ma'averus of the Yado. So they had to, they on one hand, they had to have Yireh in the sins that they did.
This is in regard to
In
about
other words, just because he talked between Phil and Sharosh and Phil and Shilyad, or the Rishonim says in the Pesukei Dezimra, whatever it is, that doesn't passel them. It's the fear that they have that they'll be punished as a result of it during the war that potters them.
so this is in regard to about the holiday, Rosh Chodesh being a holiday for women and Sfiras HaOmer. Isn't the Yontif of Shavuos for the Tzibor also for women, and doesn't this include Sfiras HaOmer for men and women?
Well, I'm not sure what the question is.
I was taking care of my baby, so I missed exactly what you were saying, but when you're talking about the Rashba about Sfiras
Yeah,
HaOmer.
so you know, Sfiras HaOmer is a halacha of counting, but it's a halacha that starts with the individual to become part of the community. Consequently, if a woman who's exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, she's exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. But where it starts with the community going down to the individual, like Mochama or like Binyan Beis Hamikdash, their women are not exempt on the basis of mitzvah saseh shehazman grama.
But Sfiras HaOmer is a separate mitzvah from the holiday of
Yes,
Shavuos.
there's separate
You
mitzvahs.
could have Shavuos without having Sfiras HaOmer.
That's right. And anyway, women, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. So thank you, everyone.